You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous. At this time, we ask that you turn off all cell phones, unless, of course, you're using them to listen to this podcast, in which case, please keep it on. And please refrain from any flash photography, as it is dangerous to the performers of this podcast. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Don't you see? It's so simple. Step one, we Google the biggest flops on Broadway. Step two, we find the crazy stories behind them. Step three, we see how they lose millions of dollars.
Millions?
Broadway isn't cheap. A lot of fancy people want to be producers. Step four, find out why the show won't go on. Step five, end this episode and head to Times Square.
Times Square? That'll never work. Only Broadway successes are in Times Square.
Oh, ye of little faith. Welcome!
Hi, Theater Geeks!
Hello! Hello, Theater Geeks!
Welcome to Theater Geeks Anonymous!
Welcome, Theater Geeks, to Theater Geeks Anonymous! Welcome! This is the show where we talk about Broadway flops, scandals, and new works.
Who fails, who sues, we tell their stories. I'm so dry. She's like singing everything, and I'm like, this is what I need to say right here. And this is the other thing I need to say.
Even in the testing of the mics, I'm like, test. And she's like, testing one, two. Oh my goodness. It's good stuff. See, the later we go, and the later in the day gets, the more punch drunk I get. And the more song comes out of my mouth.
It's true.
That's why you love me.
And it's only like 5:45.
I know. That's what's nuts. It's been a long day. You know, yesterday was nice because I had the day off of work yesterday. And like today is a Saturday. But yesterday, my dogs let me sleep until 7:30. And let me stay in bed until 8, which is unheard of because, you know, we're up at 6:30 for work. So that's when they usually get up, even on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so today I was like, oh, maybe they'll do the same thing. So I had wine night with my friend Juliet and we watched Parenthood until the wee hours. I think I got home at like 11:30, which is very late for me.
I love that 11:30 is the wee hours.
It's the wee hours.
I was like, because you were over at my house and you were there till like 1.
I know. And I was wrecked for like a whole week.
Oh no.
It wasn't that bad. But like we went to bed really late last night and they woke me up at the crack of dawn.
Y'all are the
worst. It's just not fair. They are. They're the worst. I look at their stupid faces and I just want to punch them and I love them so much. The dichotomy of parenthood and dog ownership.
Funny.
So what's on the agenda today, Miss Ebony?
Well, today...
Oh, should we introduce what people are listening to? Did we do that
already?
Sorry, we did that. Sorry. Oopsies, doodles. Oops. Sorry, everybody.
Just finished drink.
We just did it. I forgot already.
Hysterical.
Season 2 is off to a great start.
Holy. Oh boy. Okay, well. Today's episode, we're keeping on that theme because we're still in August. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to us in order, which if you didn't listen to season 1, there was like a whole discussion about listening to podcasts in order, which Pamela does very well.
I do. I have to. I can't listen to them out of order. I literally cannot. My body won't let me.
And I'm one where there's a few podcasts I've listened to in absolute order, like the ones where you absolutely have to, like Crime Town and S-Town.
Yeah, yeah.
And Serial. But there are podcasts that I listen to out of order, just depending on what I feel like listening to.
Do you know what else I can't do?
What?
I can't start a new podcast without finishing the one I'm on.
Oh my, that means like behind the curtain, you won't be up to speed until for like 2 years.
Uh-huh. You sent me a text the other day that said, oh, listen to this episode. episode because it's gonna be 2 years. About quilters, and I'm like, I don't know, Ebony, I'm still in S Town right now. Which is so good.
Oh, it is really good.
I'm on the final episode, but I don't want it to end
because I know.
Ebony told me there's not going to be another season of it, and that makes me really sad.
I know.
They tell such good stories
on that This whole American team. Life. And, yeah. And,
like, the whole NPR team, like, is just really
they're so excellent.
Good.
Really good.
They're really good.
So, on that tangent... today's episode, we will be talking about Cry Baby, the musical.
Woo!
So for John Waters fans, like my good friend Wanda, who loves him, and my late mother, who loved herself some Hairspray, the original. She liked the musical, but she was the one who, and I tell this story often, I would be sitting down and I would be flipping through the TV Guide channel when it was a channel. After it, well, it was still a magazine, but it was a channel.
Mm-hmm.
Before you had, like, Guide on your DVR
like
set
channel
thing.
3 is, it scrolls down at a very slow pace.
Slow pace, and you have to just catch it.
You have to just keep watching continuously. If you blink, you will miss
You've
the show,
it.
And
You've
you have to wait for the whole rotation to go
That's
again.
That's right. That's right. Old school, guys. So,
you millennials have it so good.
So easy. You don't even know. Except we did establish in an earlier episode that the stuff we grew up on is better than yours. So that's one thing.
It's totally better than yours. Better. But efficiency-wise,
you do
guys
have it much better.
Good stuff now.
Yeah, you have it better than we did. So Cry Baby. So Cry Baby was John Waters' follow-up to Hairspray. And if you don't know that much about John Waters, which if you don't,
oh my gosh.
Google him, learn
you
something.
Stop listening right this second.
And Google you go John and rent, Waters immediately.
You rent a couple of movies of his on iTunes and you watch them and then you get back to us.
Because it was good stuff. It was really good stuff. So so Cry Baby was the follow-up to Hairspray. And like I said, if you don't know him, he grew up in Maryland, mainly in Baltimore. So Hairspray and Cry Baby and pretty much all of his movies.
Yeah, all of them.
are based in Baltimore. And I asked if I could do this one because I grew up in Maryland, 20 minutes outside of Baltimore. So, like, my mom loved Hairspray because it took place in Baltimore and it was in the 60s and my mom was born in 51. So, like, that was, like, a time that she remembered was happening. And so she just loved Hairspray.
I did a show with a girl who lived in Baltimore, and when they were filming Hairspray, she got to be one of the dancing extras.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she said
they
it was
did
a really
lot
cool
of that
story.
Movie in Canada, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
which was upsetting.
That is upsetting.
Yeah, they did. They did. But we whatever we loved the musical.
Totally,
we absolutely loved the musical. So
you know, I a few years ago, this was like maybe 2010. I was sitting in Chipotle in Midtown, like I don't know which one, but anyway, like in the 40s
There's
somewhere.
So many.
It was right around the corner from the Times Square Church.
Oh, okay.
So right there, or like the Gershwin Theater, right around that area. Mm. And I was sitting in the window, like at the bar and the window. And as I was eating my burrito bowl, John Waters crossed right in front of my path.
What? Was he flashing or no?
No, he was talking to someone else. But, like, he's got that tiny little mustache, that skinny little mustache. And so he's, like, you know.
Very distinctive.
You know him. And so it was very exciting. I didn't get to talk to him. I should have, like, run out and been like, John, give me a picture. But I'm not like that. I don't do that. But I was very excited. And I did document it on Facebook.
Did you? If you didn't understand my flasher reference, that means you didn't watch the Hairspray movie musical, and you need to stop this episode and go back and do that.
Right. So stop listening. Uh-oh, guys. I don't know if you hear that. That's my dog, Sweet Pea.
Barking her head off. What she usually does is she'll walk to the end of the bed once we're like, stop. Her ears stick out, and she turns her head like, what? What?
I just wanted attention, that's all.
Sweet Pea, that's enough. Where's Ebony? Come get Ebony.
Come on.
Sweetie, come get Ebony.
Girl.
Oh, what a good dog you are.
All right, so Cry Baby, like I said, was first a movie. And the movie premiered in 1990. So I have not seen this movie in a very long time. So I am going to give you a little synopsis because I needed it for my refresher, and you may too, unless you are a colossal John Waters fan who watches his movies all the time.
Right.
Really, the only one that I see or listen to frequently is Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Crybaby, the movie, was also a musical, and it was written and directed by John Waters. Crybaby is set in the 1950s, and the plot centers around two high school-age social groups, the Drapes and the Squares. The Drapes are led by the enigmatic Johnny Depp, who plays Wade Crybaby Walker. Y'all just need to go back just to see baby Johnny Depp.
Oh, man. He's a fetus in this movie. Yeah. He's so cute.
He's so cute. So cute. Like 21 Jump Street. If you didn't watch those, go back and watch those.
Not the movie that they just made a couple years ago. No.
Old school.
Like the baby TV Johnny Depp show.
Yeah. Before Edward Scissorhands. Right. And when now he's a little weird.
Like he's new now. Like he was fresh then. I'm sorry. Yes, but he was new then. Like that was.
So fresh and clean. So again. Johnny Depp's playing Wade Crybaby Walker, the title character, and Crybaby falls in love with a square named Allison Vernon Williams, who's played by Amy Locaine. And so the story is like this Romeo and Juliet-esque type thing because like...
Yeah, the good girl and the bad boy.
Right. And the Drapes are like this weird, like misfit toy group. You have one girl named like Hatchet Face.
Who really truly does have a hatchet face.
Poor girl. And then you've got like Iggy Pop is like playing like the patriarch of the group. and he's also playing Johnny Depp's grandfather.
It's like Outsiders meets the Misfit Toys from what's that?
I'm just making a face because I'm not really sure.
The Island of Misfit Toys.
Oh. Which I like to call New York City the Island of Misfit Toys.
It's true.
Because I feel like this is the only place I've ever lived where I actually felt like I belonged. Or at least was not some weirdo.
That you didn't stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah,
I'm like, I'm home.
I'm much more a square in your estimation of this city, and I do stick out like a sore thumb.
You feel like you stick out in New York? I feel like nobody sticks out in New York.
Not necessarily in a bad way, right. But like, I find that I am asked quite frequently, am I from out of town? And I think it's because I'm polite.
That's so, well, I will say people are like, where are you from?
Yeah.
And I'll say New York, because this is my home. And they're like, no, but where are you from?
Originally.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, originally I'm from Maryland. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I say Central Illinois. They're like, yeah, I thought so.
Like, I'm like, you know what? It's fine.
It's totally fine.
Okay. So the star-crossed lovers have to fight a lot of taboos of the town to be together. The Drapes' matriarch and patriarch are Ramona and Belvedere Ricketts, played by Susan Tyrell and, as I stated, Iggy Pop, respectively. The other notables in the cast include Ricky Lake as Pepper Walker. And again, if you've not seen Hairspray, the original, not the musical, but you also should see the musical because I love both.
Yes.
But if you did not see the 1980s original Hairspray, you need to because Ricky Lake, yes, talk show host Ricky Lake, plays the lead, Tracy Turnblad.
She was, like Divine, one of John Waters' muses. Yeah. You know, he would surround himself with these people that he just loved and wanted to work with, and he put them in every single one of his movies. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So, so check that out. And then the late Kim McGuire played Hatchet Face, and Patty Hearst.
The Patty Hearst
was Wanda Woodward.
I don't remember that.
And she played Tracy Lord's mother. Okay, so do you all know who Patty Hearst is?
I do.
Her grandfather is William Randolph Hearst. Blitzer and Hearst,
they think they got us. Do they got us? No.
Yeah, so... That just watch Newsies, and then you'll know her grandfather. But she is known because she was kidnapped in 1976 and then ended up becoming friends with the kidnappers and following their ideology. And then ended up going to jail for a robbery.
But she was a case where they could say that it was Stockholm Syndrome.
She was convicted of the robbery, though, because they did feel like she had adopted their ways of living and their ways of thinking. But then President Clinton commuted her sentence.
Right.
So if my timing is right, it was soon after her sentence was commuted that she was in this movie, Crybaby.
Probably.
Crybaby got his name because of his ability to shed one single tear, which apparently drove the ladies crazy. I didn't know that was a thing. One single tear dry. I mean, I don't know. So here's the thing is like Denzel Washington's like a brilliant actor and he is really good at the single tear thing.
Mm-hmm.
So is Sterling on This Is Us. If you have not watched This Is Us yet, you should watch that. Sterling is brilliant and he's very good at the single tear Denzel Washington and Glory thing. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the leader of a band and an orphan, which is what bonds him and Allison. They lament over how both sets of their parents died, and Crybaby's story is particularly gruesome as both parents were sent to the electric chair because of his father's murders, even though his mother tried to stop his father from murdering people. So even the father got sent to the electric chair, and even though the mother was trying to stop her husband from doing these things, she still got sent to the electric chair also. A set of circumstances has Crybaby wrongly accused of a crime for which he is sent to a penitentiary. But of course, there's the happy ending where he's able to go back to Allison and his band. Whilst he's in jail, he gets a tattoo of a tear for Allison and their separation, forever cementing him as Crybaby. In the movie, James Intveld was Johnny Depp's singing voice and Rachel Sweet was Amy Locane's singing voice.
Okay.
So the movie opened nationwide on April 6, 1990. The critical reception was mixed, and Waters is just one of those people, like, you either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, you it's like you love or hate.
You either are obsessed with him or you're just completely indifferent.
Right. The film cost $12 million to make, but only made $8 million. And even though it was technically a flop, it has this massive cult following.
Yep.
Like, huge.
Like as all of Waters' films.
Yeah, all of them. Because it's... I feel like he's... Him and Sondheim are, like, in this way where they write things that people don't always get or even, like, the world hasn't caught up to or technology hasn't necessarily caught up to. And so they write these things because they're such visionaries. And then over time, people begin to realize, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just way ahead of their time.
Yeah. I mean.
He also, I feel like John Waters really appeals to the outsider.
Yeah.
Like the outcast. The misfit. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So eventually the musical, because Hairspray is such a colossal hit on Broadway, they decided they would like to get another John Waters property. Mm-hmm. So Crybaby is next in line because, again, it was already a movie musical.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't actually keep too many, if any, of the songs from the movie.
Right.
They write new ones. The writing team, the composer was Adam Schlesinger.
Okay.
And he was Grammy nominated for his band Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, I think I've heard of them, but I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be very familiar.
Okay. And then the lyricist for Crybaby the musical was David Javerbaum. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sorry, David, if I'm not. He is an Emmy-winning producer and writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
Oh, cool.
The book writers were Thomas Meehan and Mark O'Donnell, and they also wrote the book for Hairspray.
Okay.
So they were like, we understand John Waters' twisted mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he's such a... He's just like voice. This mind that like only a handful of people could actually get inside and understand,
yeah,
like be able to interpret. And so it just makes sense if you already have a team that understands and can kind of get into his mind to just have those same people write the next show, because yeah, it's like somebody trying to understand Tim Burton.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that same, yeah, or Julie Taymor. Like, they just have these unique minds that, you know, not everybody can get inside and understand.
Yeah.
The production designer was Scott Pask. The director was Mark Brokaw. And the choreographer was Rob Ashford. Producers for the musical were Brian Grazer, who also produced the movie with Imagine Entertainment, and Universal Pictures, that was the distributor of the film. Alan McAllister and Adam Goldstein, among others, were also producers. After workshops in May of 2007, Crybaby had a lot of revisions. At the mid-May workshop, for instance, it was clear that the upbeat full company finale, "Nothing Bad's Ever Gonna Happen Again," went over much bigger than the opening number.
Wow.
There was a rousing crowd reaction to Screw Loose, which...
Yes.
I love that song.
Allie Mazzi, who I know because she played Glinda while I was doing the Wicked Tour.
Oh, cool.
Is, first of all, the most hysterical person I've ever met in real life. Oh. But on stage, she makes these choices that are the most zany, but they work. Yeah. They're so good.
I found a bootleg of Crybaby, and so I was watching it, and she was so good.
I don't remember. I think I found it on YouTube. It's a video of Seth Rudetsky. He does the show. He brings in like other Broadway performers, and he brought in Allie Mazzi in one of these episodes to sing Screw Loose. It's definitely worth watching.
So fun. The song's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Was the first act tune, like it says, like she said, Allie Mazzi, a supporting player, and I Did Something Wrong Once, the actress Jane Maxwell's second act song. But other moments received fewer hoots and hollers, which is to be expected because it's a workshop and learning experiences.
Yeah.
The La Jolla and Broadway cast were James Snyder, who played the title character, Elizabeth Stanley played Allison Vernon Williams, and I love her, Harriet Harris played Allison's grandmother, Mrs. Vernon Williams, and Carly Gibson played Pepper Walker, which was the Ricky Lake character. Meehan and O'Donnell immediately went to cutting extraneous characters from the movie when they were writing the book. Meehan stated, "Our slogan was edgier than Grease, funnier than West Side Story." down and didn't realize how funny it was, and I'm like, oh dear, oh that's funny.
That is funny.
It helps that we're temperamentally similar to John. O'Donnell says, "We're from the same planet, but it's a slightly twisted planet. We want to be tasteless but not offenseless."
Offensive.
"We want to be tasteless but not offensive. We may be off kilter, but we're not bad people." Unlike most stage musical adaptions of movies, the Crybaby writers understood that you can't just put a screenplay on stage and add songs.
Right.
You have to make the film story into a piece of theater by changing its fundamental nature. I'm not going to name names, but there is one show that, like, two of my friends who usually, like, when they go see a show and they're like... their feelings are usually similar to mine.
Yeah.
There's one show where... we are so divided on that the wife had a dream. She told someone it was good. I was at the bottom of the stairs with my arms crossed, shaking my head at her. Like, how could you tell anyone that? How could you tell that? And she comes down the stairs and is like trying to defend herself and is stuttering. What's that was a dream.
What's the show?
I don't want to say.
Oh, please do. Because you have to. You told the story.
I feel like I don't want to be bashing. Is it bashing if I say?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so Sunset Boulevard is not a good show. The orchestrations, I just saw it. The orchestration, Glenn Close was perfect.
She's brilliant.
I mean, I am not mad I spent the money because watching her was fantastic. And the orchestrations were gorgeous.
Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous. But what Sunset Boulevard does is it takes the script and puts it on stage. And so it's like the lyrics are bad and the book's not great. I'm sorry. I know you won a Tony, but there was no one else around that season either.
I love Andrew Lloyd Webber, but he has a record of shows with really amazing orchestration, but really, really weak lyrics and script.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of he and who he collaborates with. Like, it's, you know you're going to have really gorgeous composition and a weak story. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature.
Also, all the actors were wonderful.
Oh, yeah,
they're freaking awesome.
Yeah,
but no. So yeah, so we had a little. I mean, the wife's like more like she's like mostly you're right, but the husband like he just likes to pick at me. I'll just say who that is. It's Patrick.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who's like, he's like my big brother. So he just likes to like aggravate me.
Yep.
So he'll be like, it's great. It's great. And I'm like, what, have you lost your mind? I just, every time. Anyway. So saying all that, this whole thing about like not taking the movie and like just putting the movie on stage and saying, this is a completely different form. We can't just take the movie and put that on stage and think, boom, that's going to work. Like, that's not the theater. So I love that.
Yeah.
They realize that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Okay. They turned film characters into musical comedy characters without losing their core personalities. They streamlined the plot substantially. Since songs take more stage time than dialogue, the script of a musical has to be a model of economy in order to get all the storytelling done in a fairly small space. Like Bat Boy, Cry Baby has an incredibly lean script with virtually no extraneous moments.
Oh, Bat Boy is so good.
I don't know Bat Boy. So I have to check it out.
It's so good, Ebony.
That's what I've heard.
It's very funny. But it's also, like, the music is really, really good.
I have to check it out. Sometimes there's less than half a page of dialogue between songs. The jokes come fast and furiously. The vast majority of laughs develop character and move the plot forward, or set up information for a later payoff. Sprinkled throughout the entire script are repeated references to class, crime, communism, and fear. All themes that will weave throughout the story and come together in the last scene, in a moment that resolves all the conflicts at once. A comic moment worthy of Gilbert and Sullivan in both its wackiness and its internal logic. I don't necessarily love the Gilbert and Sullivan reference.
I do. Okay, that's no. Don't think of Pirates of Penzance.
That's what everyone thinks of.
I don't.
But most people are like Gilbert and Sullivan, Pirates of Penzance. I don't like Pirates of Penzance.
Gilbert and Sullivan. If you what was that movie? Topsy Turvy. This was the movie that was based on Gilbert and Sullivan during the time that they were writing The Mikado.
Okay.
It's hysterical movie, but it's also like historically pretty accurate. Jim Broadbent plays,
I love Jim Broadbent,
I do too, Gilbert, and I can't remember who plays Sullivan, but it's a really good movie to watch. Okay.
Topsy-turvy.
That I will definitely recommend that. Okay. I might actually have the DVD. Ooh. If anyone watches DVDs,
I will buy
anymore.
I do.
You can borrow it if you want.
Okay.
But they have this incredibly smart way of writing that lends itself to be incredibly funny if it's performed correctly.
Okay.
But if it's not performed correctly, it will fall flat. And I think that's what they're trying to say. That's the parallel right. they're trying to make.
Yeah, it depends on... Okay.
That it's driven by the character, meaning right. if you've got someone in that track, like an Ali Mazzie, who can sing Screw Loose in that way, then it's going to hit every time. But if you get someone that maybe not have that comedic mm-hmm. timing or the comedic element as well, it's going to fall flat. Mm-hmm. It's all in the timing.
Yeah. That's I mean, again, I did see it on YouTube, so it that makes sense. Mm-hmm. after 4 years of trying out the material with readings and workshops, Crybaby premiered at La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego, California on November 18th, 2007.
La Jolla.
Ha! If you... Okay, I'm terrible at languages. I am the quintessential obnoxious American. I was in Paris a few weeks ago, and I speak no French, and I can't say any of the words French-like. So I say the most American version of the word possible because I'm just so terrible. So... I understand what you're saying, but my brain is like, does not compute. I will try very hard.
La Jolla.
La Jolla. Okay.
La Jolla.
So bad. All right. I'm going to start that piece over.
Okay.
After 4 years of trying out the material with readings and workshops, Crybaby premiered at the La Jolla. I said it wrong.
Yeah. No, that was right.
Okay. La Jolla Playhouse in San Diego, California, on November 18th, 2007. The La Jolla production ran through December 16th of that year. The show had very mixed reviews, but the 2007-2008 Broadway season was pretty weak, people felt, at that point. So Broadway insiders were hoping it would be the sleeper hit of the season. Mm. Thomas Meehan stated... this is so great. So you know, when you're trying to write something and like, there's all this noise, it's going to be brilliant. It's going to be brilliant. And I talk about Lin a lot, but I feel like his next show.
Yeah.
I'm already praying for him because it's going to be ridiculous. So Thomas is like listening, like he's hearing this stuff. He's trying not to. Mm-hmm. And in 2007, I'm sure like Twitter wasn't as bad right. as it is now. Like social media wasn't at the height it is now. So I'm sure he wasn't getting all of the noise that he would be getting now if he was trying to write this show. But at that point, whatever he was hearing, he was like, nope. Nope, gotta write a show. I can't. Nope, nope, nope. And so he said, you're asking me if my baby will graduate from college and he hasn't even been born yet.
Yeah.
It's true. And then Elon McAllister, one of the producers, said, oh, geez, I don't even want to think about that. Crybaby began rehearsals in February of 2008. For 4 weeks and began previews on March 15th, 2008 at the Marquee Theater. It opened on April 24th of 2008. Crybaby opened to mixed reviews on Broadway also. Some were stating that it missed the mark, turning John Waters' work into a crash show.
Oh.
Others, like the New York Times, stated that the show was tasteless, and not tasteless in a crass way, but like tasteless where it's not sweet, yeah. it's not sour, it's no salt, it's just not salty. Meh. Yeah, it has no flavor. A Variety cited that the romantic leads had no chemistry, even though they were both likable.
Okay.
But Newsday stated that they felt it was pleasantly demented, which is accurate if you want to talk about John Waters.
Very much so.
And Terry Teachout of the Wall Street Journal felt it was well-crafted and campy, which are also, like, campy is the perfect word for a John Waters.
Yeah.
The show was subsequently nominated for 4 Tony Awards, but didn't take any home. Now, we all know what happens to a show that's not particularly doing well at the box office, that's nominated for Tonys and doesn't win any.
Closes.
It closes. So... On June 22nd, 2008, Just after the Tony Awards, the show played 45 previews and 68 performances. It closed. According to Javerbaum, the show was remounted by New Line Theater in St. Louis, Missouri in March of 2012. It had a smaller band, and the cast was reduced to 16. The show was reorchestrated and revised by the original composers and writers for the St. Louis production. It was the first production of the show to be done since Broadway.
Okay.
And then, in 2015, the show actually got a Broadway cast recording.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
With the original cast, like all of them?
It's most of the original cast.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I tried to find it on Spotify. I could not.
Okay.
But like I said, was able to watch it on YouTube. It's not a great recording.
Yeah.
It's very shaky. And I'm telling you, the camera fell over. But, you know, it is what it is. And it served the purposes I needed to be able to hear and see what I could of the show. And I had a lot of fun watching it. I thought it was a fun show.
You can stream it on Amazon if you have Prime membership.
I do.
There you go.
Wow. Didn't know that. Cry Baby the musical, not the movie.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Are there other shows on Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, I feel like musicals? All I did was look up Cry Baby the musical in...
Oh, my gosh. I wish you could have seen, okay? So Pamela's dog, the littlest one, Sweet Pea, is having a deal because her brother, her little brother, is getting all up in her spot and she ain't happy about it. So she was being loud and Pamela's like, no, you can't do this, we're recording. And her back legs were like over her leg. So Pamela just lifted her leg and she just fell off the couch and it was hilarious.
No, I don't abuse my animals. No.
She was fine. She was still growling. She's fine. She's just like goodness. Needs all the attention immediately.
You know what?
Sweetie
can be a crotch sometimes.
I mean, she's old and crotchety.
She's a little old lady.
Yeah.
But a lover. Oh, so all I did was look up Cry Baby the musical in Amazon and it'll bring up like the digital file. So it said it streams. So I would imagine like if you looked up any musical. So let me see if
I'm in shock. I didn't know Prime had any of that. It's not recommending the right things for me.
So, oh, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. You can also stream.
Prime? Oh, guess what Ebony's doing tonight?
Yeah, downloading the Amazon app for Prime.
I already have it.
Perfect.
Watching Andrew Jackson.
Non-watching, just the recording.
Oh.
So I'm sorry. No, that was confusing.
I was so excited. I thought I could watch
it. No, that would have been amazing. I think you can only do that at the library here in New York.
Okay.
But no, the cast recordings.
Is on Prime.
Yes.
Okay, to stream. Okay. Well, that works too. All right. So, you guys... That's it for Cry Baby the musical.
That's it.
That's the story.
Bye-bye, Cry Baby. I'm going to say it with a French accent since we talked about that. Bye-bye. Cry Baby.
Oh, I don't know, though.
It is a much better accent
don't
than my Australian accent. My French accent.
I'm telling you, we're going to get the one French person.
We will. Hello, my French friends. Hello. Welcome to... Theater Kids Anonymous. That was terrible. But before I went all chintzy and weird, then it was good. If I'm just, you know, if I'm just talking like this with my French accent, it's fine. My dog is done. She's like, hey, look, I heard you say that that was the end. I'm going to say hello. I'm going to say hello.
She got in front of the mic. She's like the frog. She's like, no, I don't know. I don't want to say anything. Yeah. I have nothing to say.
Just a long ribbit holding your cane.
Her brother's getting on her last nerve.
Well, I have to admit that he's getting on my last nerve too. Because, and you, I don't know, I'm going to listen back and I'm going to hear all of these little bumps and things. Because he kept sitting on the mic stand and then like licking the carpet, which is a great, hey, I have an idea. if you have a solution to my problem of my dog who has been diagnosed as having pica, which is a disorder in humans and animals where they feel a compulsion to eat things that aren't good for them, my dog licks the carpet. What can I do about it?
You can let me know. Yeah, you can contact us on tgabway@gmail.com and we will be real grateful.
Subject
for the help
line
of that.
Save puddle.
Save puddle.
Because he's not going to last much longer if he keeps it up. Also, check us out on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
Also, you can follow us on Twitter at
tgabway.
And please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes.
Yes.
If you are an Android.
If you're an Android.
If you're an Android user, you can find us on SoundCloud at Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can download the app and you can listen to us that way, the way that my sister listens to us, the way that I listen to us.
But not me, because I've got an iPhone, so I listen on iTunes.
And that's where you're going to rate, review, and subscribe. On SoundCloud, you can follow.
Okay.
And that's how you'll know when we've uploaded a new episode.
Yes. Yes. We're still uploading some from season one. I think we have three left. And we'll
but this
still have
won't
some...
be posted until after that's done.
No, so they, this is... Oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah. You're going to hear this after the fact, so what's the point?
Facebook. We're on Facebook. Theater Geeks Anonymous. You said that?
That was the first thing I said.
Okay. Well, I'm having a brain fart, too. Ooh, we're winning!
Oh, you guys, it's 6:30 in the evening, and I think we're heading straight to bed after
this. Really terrible.
Actually, I'm going to have a piece of peanut butter pie, and I hope that you'll share it with me, because it is so... I made this peanut butter pie the other day. Because I want to bake. I love baking, but it's
too
hot.
Yeah.
And so I made a no-bake peanut butter pie, and it is so rich. It's filled with cream cheese and sugar and peanut butter, and it's amazing.
I love all of those things.
I handmade whipping cream.
I love doing that. That's the only way I, like, unless I'm going, okay, no dairy, then I'll just buy Cool Whip.
Yeah. Cool Whip.
Oh, Lord have mercy. But otherwise, I love to do my own whipping cream.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
That was the first time I ever did it, and
really?
It was so much easier than I expected it to be.
Yeah, super easy.
I've got a KitchenAid mixer, though, too, so I think that'll, I mean,
I
that takes
too.
All the work out of it. But anyway.
I would have the whisk.
Yeah.
My arm was hurting.
Oh, my gosh.
That was
terrible.
Did you
ever take the little creamer things in a restaurant and, like, shake them until you could make your own butter?
No.
You never did?
No.
How fun. Okay, so, like, the little tiny cylindrical containers of half and half at a restaurant, if you just shake them, and it takes a long, long time, like, at least 20 minutes or more to shake, 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 shake. And then when you open it up, it's like butter consistency.
Didn't know that. Things children do to entertain themselves.
It's true. Well, the things the adults tell the children to do, probably to keep them occupied while they're eating dinner. But yeah, that was fun. Central Illinois, that's where I grew up. But the peanut butter pie is so rich that I had to eat like a handful of cucumber afterward. Because I just couldn't. Okay, we got to end this because my dogs are driving me insane right now.
Thank you so much for listening,
Thanks
everyone.
For joining
we really
us.
appreciate We appreciate you.
We
appreciate
you.
Holy mackerel. Oh.
All right, bye.
Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps.
A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.